Christ's glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning and Ugadi and Navre greetings to all our listeners. My name is Karuna and I thank you very much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, April the 3rd, 2014. Your company is Swami's company for us. You're tuned to Morning Glory coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time here in our studio right now is 9:42 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Current temperature outside the studio is 30 degrees Celsius with a high of 40 Celsius expected later on in the day. Tonight, our overnight low is going to be 26 degrees. The air is crisp and the skies are clear and we do experience warm breeze for most part of the day these days, and that is really way better than the stillness of a dreary summer. For us, every season in Parthi is lovely and it has a unique flavor to it. Right now, watermelons and nimbu pani, that is lemonade, are the flavor of the season, as is the green raw mango chutney. Yum, pretty mouth-watering actually. This past Monday, which was March the 31st, we celebrated the Telugu New Year or Ugadi. The day also marks the new year of many other communities across India and is celebrated as Gudi Padwa in Maharashtra, as Navre in Kashmir, Vishu in Kerala and Chatti Chand amongst the Sindhis. Team Radio Sai wishes all our listeners who celebrated their New Year recently a downpour of Bhagwan's love and grace. And these best wishes come from all members of our team, those whose names and voices you're familiar with, and those who work tirelessly behind the scenes to keep Radio Sai up and working on 6 streams, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. These brothers and sisters include our dedicated volunteers around the globe, as these nice people are our unsung heroes, because everything that comes to you from God's own radio station has their contribution also. So please, accept New Year greetings from all of us on this special occasion of Ugadi, Navre, Chaitra Shukladi, Gudi Padwa, Vishu and Chati Chand. And this celebration unofficially confirms that the summer is here for the next little while. You've got to accept the fact that over the years, the weather systems here have changed quite dramatically, rendering our summer pretty short and relatively mild, or should I say milder. So the summer that proclaims itself loud and clear on Ugadi lasts for just about 3 weeks past Ishwaramba Day, which falls, of course, on May the 6th. And you know, our life in the ashram, it just revolves around a festival calendar more than anything else. So 3 weeks after Ishwaramba Day, the summer starts to lose its steam, bidding us goodbye. And you can smell a hint of moisture in the air as a precursor to the monsoon. Oh, the joy of living in the Valley of Supreme Peace, the one place on the face of the planet where the heart is at home and the soul is at ease. Thank you, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, for creating this oasis for us. Let us now take off Morning Glory from Prashanti Nilayam at 45 minutes after 9 a.m. with a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity, a series of interviews with Baba's devotees from around the globe. Who's our guest today? I will announce that in just a moment, but first, here is an important message.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970, when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds, which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video,
mm-hmm.
right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all. We've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Trust with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Trust with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist, that is radiosai.org/TRYST or trist. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
So dear listeners, today I am pleased to bring you part 1 of a Radio Sai exclusive interview with the veteran devotee of Bhagwan Baba, Mr. Dave, a permanent resident of Prashanthi Nilayam who has served Swami in various roles. He is in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti, and here it is for your listening pleasure. Please enjoy.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Trist with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. And today, our guest in the studio is someone who had the rare privilege of coming to the lotus feet way back in 1950. Not only that, Swami later pulled him to Prashanthi Nilayam and he basked in the divine physical proximity of Bhagwan for over 20 years. He indeed was Bhagwan's instrument in the functioning and management of some of the vital facilities of the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. For over 2 decades, he served as the convener of the Bhakta Sahayak Sangh, which is now known as the Bhakta Sahayak Division of the Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust. And this Bhakta Sahayak Division oversees the operations of all the canteens, the South Indian Canteen, the North Indian Canteen and the Western Canteen, the Gokulam, which has more than 100 cows and which provides much needed milk to students and devotees, the shopping complex along with all its subsidiaries, the food stall, vegetable shop, the ice cream stall, also the telephone booth. So there are many divisions, all for the utility of devotees, which come under the Bhakta Sahayak Division. And sir was the convener of the Bhakta Sahayak Division of this Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust, a silent worker. And even now, young at 85, Mr. Dave is one of those inmates in the Prashanthi Ashram on whose face you always saw that welcoming smile. A very endearing and lovable, long-standing and dedicated servant of the Lord. It is really a pleasure to have him in the studios today. Let me also share with you a brief note on his background before he came to Puttaparthi in 1989. He started off his career as Special Assistant Inspector for Language Accounts, which had its headquarters in Bellary. This happened in 1950 and he rose through the ranks because of his hard and diligent work, and he became the Commercial Tax Officer in 1987 for Coimbatore and Madras State. It was at this point that many things happened in his life which brought him finally to the lotus feet of Bhagwan in 1989-1990. And it was during this period, 85-87, when he also held the position of the convener of the Sathya Sai Samiti at Coimbatore. So, there are plenty of fascinating stories treasured in his heart, because not only he has had this opportunity of serving Swami at very close quarters in the Prashantinilam Ashram, but Swami has blessed this family tremendously. Mr. Dave's 4 grandsons and 2 granddaughters have had the privilege of being students of Baba's University. One of his daughter-in-laws also is a student of Anandpur campus. His daughter taught in the primary school for more than 25 years. So it is a family which is completely, wholly and solely into Bhagwan. And definitely they have had their most indelible moments, most unforgettable moments with Bhagwan. So with great joy, I welcome you, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Yes, I am.
So I know it is 85 years of wonderful journey with Bhagwan. Of course, though you came to physical proximity of Swami, you had your first darshan in 1950 and Swami pulled you to the ashram in 1989. So please tell us how this transition happened in your life in 1950, that first darshan, and how was that experience?
Really, I'm very, 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 very happy. It's a wonderful thing Swami entered in my life. Even in 1950, I was working in Commerce Taxes Department, Bellary as headquarters. At that time, Kadapa, Kadnur, Anandpur, Bellary, Chittur, Nellore was the jurisdiction. I used to come to Anandpur now and then on official work. People used to say about Bhagwan, Satya Sai Baba, and his miracles and grace, curing and all this. So many things people used to say. Somehow, I missed the chances, so many chances I missed.
Because you were in Anandpur, and you were coming to Anandpur, and you were looking after so many districts in the state of Andhra Pradesh,
yes,
and all these Rayalaseema areas,
yeah.
And but somehow you had not got the chance to come.
So I used to feel like anything afterwards when I came to know. When I came, I was transferred to our, what you call it, Chennai Patanam at that time, then called Madras State.
Yes, the earlier name of Madras.
Yes. And I was posted to Coimbatore. We had our residence in Sai Baba Kalani, behind Shirdi Sai Baba's temple.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we used to go to Shirdi Sai Baba temple very often. And once we had been to Bangalore on a pleasure trip, whatever you call it, you see, with 2-3 friends of mine on a holiday trip, staying in a hotel early in the morning, I had a vision. Swami, though I have not seen him in person till then, by the descriptions given by others and devotees, I thought that it's only Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba giving darshan under a tree, big tree. All the devotees are, many devotees are sitting and praying, doing namaskar. Swami was going around and collecting letters also. I got up and asked my friends, see, we have heard about Baba, but he is giving darshan, that's what I have seen this morning.
This morning, you saw that vision in the morning.
Vision. Let us immediately go, so that we will have the opportunity to have his darshan also. They also said, yes, we caught hold of a vehicle and came to inquire the hotel manager where Swami is giving darshan. He said, now at Vrindavan, Whitefield, sir. So we immediately caught hold of a vehicle. We came to Vrindavan, Whitefield. We saw Bhagwan first time giving darshan, smiling and taking letters and everything. It was our first darshan. We were thrilled and feel, even now I got that feeling in me, first darshan of feeling in me. You see, that's how I came very close to Bhagwan at that time. I can say from that time onwards, I was going to attend bhajans in samiti, seva activities and other things. And course of time...
But when you just saw him for the first time, how was that feeling?
See, something I'm not in a position to express. A joy that I'm not in a position to express. Something which I have not seen previously. A shine, luminous shine, whatever you call it. walking, smiling in other things. It was a wonderful thing. I do not know even now how to express it.
You just liked him.
That's all. Completely, I can say, completely I found that I am in him or whatever you call it. He is everywhere, just like that, a kind of feeling, a blissful state. Now I am in a position to say blissful state. At that time,
you didn't know what it is.
I was very young at that time.
Yes. But you also mentioned that even before that, you used to go to the Shirdi Baba temple and all.
Yes, that is in young age. We were all small boys, young boys. One of my relative, a faraway relative, was a Shirdi Sai Baba devotee. He has seen Shirdi Sai Baba also.
He used to see Shirdi Baba.
He has seen Shirdi Baba, a middle-aged man. He used to narrate about Shirdi Sai Baba and his grace, miracles and so many things. Because as boys, we were all really, you see, very, very eager to hear more about him and other things. Somehow, one clay of Shirdi Sai Baba was made of clay, we used to keep. And whatever we know, we used to sing bhajans, all small boys, 10, 12, 13 years, small boys. You see.
So you like to hear all those stories and all those things that you heard about, the miracles and everything.
Yes.
So you had some sort of affiliation for Shirdi Baba.
Yes, yes, I think must be. As Swami said in one of the interviews to my daughter, I know your father since long, 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 long time. Otherwise, we could not have come to the Swami's presence or his grace, whatever you call it.
Yes.
And fully we are convinced that he willed, because we would have been in his previous incarnations also, that
yes.
he only knows.
Correct.
Anyhow, we are blessed in this
yes.
respect.
And he gave you that vision.
Vision,
and
yes.
that's how he pulled you.
Pulled me.
And that too is so amazing because at that time, 1950, Swami was so young physically,
yes.
you had the chance to have darshan at that time. So how was the journey after that first darshan?
After that first darshan, I became very, very, very active in all Swami's activities. Even going tour or wherever I go, used to go on camp. I used to go to this bhajan, have a bhajan and other things. And slowly got myself involved in Swami's activities, seva activities in Coimbatore Samiti.
Okay.
You see, Sevagar convener and spiritual coordinator and other things. One Mr. Viswanatha here was the convener and he, due to his age, wanted to retire, something like that. People in charge, they brought 4 or 5 names to Bhagwan, not to get selected, because there was only one Samiti Mandir in Coimbatore, a beautiful Mandir, similar to not so big, but similar to our Sundaram Mandir, like
okay.
that. It was there. And they brought the names and showed to Swami. Swami selected my name. So they made me.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, in that time, Swami used to select the conveners of the samitis. So you are physically chosen by Swami.
So I joined as convener. Even as several convener and other things also, we used to go to all the. We had 4 adopted villages, and we used to go to the villages very often. Medical camps we used to have. We used to go to the jail, Coimbatore jail, talk with the principals, ask them to sit. We used to talk about Swami and how we should lead life and other things. We used to talk to the prisoners also. Then to the hospitals, wherever needy is there, who cannot write letter to their relatives or something. And we used to go to the temples. Especially Shirdi Sai Baba temple and wash the floors and all these things we used to do. Somehow the activities were all going on. After becoming convener, very, 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 very actively, we wanted to do more service and more service and more service. Because we were very happy about it. We used to get bliss, happiness when doing service. We used to do it. At the time, Bhagwan, as convener, when I was there, Swami came twice to Coimbatore. He used to go to Kodaikanal. From there, on the way to Ooty, he used to come to Ooty from Kodaikanal every year. He came thrice. Once to the Mandir, and blessed all the devotees. See, second time to the Coimbatore eye camp.
Okay.
We used to conduct eye camps, surgery, eye operations, cataract operations. And Arvind Hospital in Madurai, doctor used to come and they conduct operations free of charge. And we used to keep the devotees for certain days, some days, and then send them home, all these things. And Swami visited eye operation place, blessed all the devotees, that is who people they operated upon. And then, previously I have requested, and my daughter requested several times, in the interviews she got as B.Ed. students and other things, Swami, you go to Kodaikanal, back to Ooty, why don't you visit our house, your house, your residence. I too requested once when I had been to Kodaikanal, Swami was there. There are wonderful incidents. Swami talked to me, got a letter from me, and again Swami said, what? I said, Swami, please come to our residence, your place at Koyambedu. Swami said, yes. This time we'll going back, I will come. That's how he came.
So he came to your house?
Came to our residence. His house, not mine. It was his house. A very small house. Only one hall and one kitchen. Small room.
Oh my God.
That's all. Nothing else. Very small place. Small place. That is how he kept, you see. Very comfortably there with all the sons, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren, everybody. See, he came to the residence. Wonderful it was. On the, before getting into the car, he said, get into the car. Sachidanandam was there as district president.
District president.
His car was there. Swami asked me to get into his car and said, let your car go first. I will come. Well, getting into the car, Swami asked me, will this car enter and pass through the small streets to the residence? Swami, if it is your will, anything can happen. So, very big car or anything will come over, Swami.
That is what you said. If it is your will, your car can come through any lane or by lane.
Yes.
Yes.
Swami smiled and got into the car. Swami came to the residence, Sai Krupa. And he was there 45 minutes with us. Straight away he went. He entered the puja room, lighted the lamp with his own hands.
Beautiful.
See? Then came and sat in the hall for some time, talked with all, gave darshan to everybody, some pada namaskaram to all who assembled. Only our relatives were there. Then all of a sudden Swami said, you get into the car,
yes.
I will come. So nobody was there.
It was sort of unexpected.
Even Sachidanandam was so simple and humble, he did not enter the house. When he brought us, he was standing somewhere. So Swami came, then in the dining room, small room, he was sitting. Gopal Rao was there.
Mr. Gopal Rao.
Gopal Rao was there. And I was
in the
Swami, so...
The person who was driving Swami's car? Mr. Radhakrishna.
Radhakrishna, Radhakrishna. See, because of my age, I am now forgetting certain names also. Okay. Now, Sadhakshan was there. Swami started taking prasadam, whatever you call it. My daughter, Sarod, I was also serving. And my two sons also were there. Daughter told to Swami, Swami, you are taking very little thing, not much, you see. Kunjama Saparal Swami. Swami said, you should be very, very happy.
Yes.
That I have come.
Yes.
I am taking here. And you are serving me. Instead of you should not feel that I am not taking much or other things.
Then be happy that I have come.
Be happy that I have come. And I am taking and you are serving.
Yes.
Be very, very happy. You should be always, what she said, you see, always optimistic. Then he got up and he said, sir, Gopal Rao Radhakrishna, and they are being served properly. Then already he sat there for some time. Then he proceeded for Nilgiri Ooty. That's how his visits were there. Next year, 1979, he came to our adopted village, Kaliamman Temple. We constructed a small temple, Satya Kaliamman Temple. Swami came there, consecrated, blessed all the devotees, and came to the Pandal community hall. Pandal we constructed there for Swami's. Giving this course, we expected he will give some advice or these blessings to all the persons. Swami. Then the pearl suddenly came and asked Swami, Swami, you have not created that yantra and put it underneath the vigraha. Swami said, go and see.
Uh-huh.
These people runningly went there. I too went along with them. We saw it was there already.
Oh, Swami already created.
Yes.
A yantra.
Yantra.
Wow.
It was there already. And Swami, there was no rain at all for the past several years in that part. Koppadai Kampalyam village, they call it. On that day, it was pouring like anything. Mm-hmm. I told to Swami, Swami, it's raining. It was no rains for possible. Swami said, yes. Very, very, very happy. Very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Then distribute class to the devotees, poor people and everything, and then Swami came back. That's how it came thrice when I was there. And afterwards, I wanted to come away. After retirement, I was practicing sales tax. 2 years I practiced. Swami asked my daughter, what is your father doing? Daughter told, Mama, he's just keeping quiet. He wants to come and serve in Puttaparthi. Swami, serve you. Swami said, no, let him be there for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Bring up the developments of the Samitinda things. Then he will come. He will come to Puttaparthi. You have been appointed as teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Be there in Uti teacher.
Oh, Swami appointed her as a teacher.
We after completion of B.Ed.
B.Ed. So Swami gave her admission.
Admission in B.Ed, he gave admission. During the admission only, 2-3 interviews along with other teachers, Swami gave. One, my daughter requested, Swami, my father does not want to perform Sastidda Purti because he lost his son-in-law, my husband. He says, no, I don't want anything. Then Swami said, don't worry, I will perform his 60th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, along with his 60th birthday, I will perform your son's Upanayan also.
Oh, because your daughter's husband had passed away, you were very sad.
Yes.
And you didn't want Sasti Purti.
Swami
but
gave,
after her husband passed away, Swami gave her admission as in B.Ed.
Yes, after nearly 3-4 years, she underwent several Hindi examinations, passed the Vasharad, all those examinations, qualified herself in Hindi. So Swami, after our Swami's visits to his residence, Sai Krupa at Coimbatore, Swami went back to Uti. Then my daughter and my grandson, everybody went there to Uti. There Swami asked her to come inside, just a small interview, just like that. Introduced to the Mrs. Rai, who was the principal at that time.
Of the Uti school.
Uti school. Swami said, she will come and join here as Hindi teacher.
Oh, Swami had told.
Swami had told.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, I went to Uti after all these things. And my daughter told, my father is not in position, come now, I mean, that's who we have come. Swami said, no, I know very well, I camp is there, everything, he has to complete everything. Then he will come. I went afterwards and told to Swami, Swami, all are very happy in Coimbatore, in this very area, all had very good darshan. Because Swami came out and gave darshan to all the persons in the road, nearby, all standing, everything. Swami said, I am also very, very, very happy to come to Coimbatore to Sai Krupa.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Mm.
So thus, Swami has given her this teacher's posting Uti.
Mm.
In one of the interviews, Swami told her, apart from this 60th birthday of Sashubhya Purti, another interview, Swami told, you see, you'll be here for 2 years. And your father also will be taken, he will do service in Prasantinilayam. And I will transfer you to Puttaparthi Prasantinilayam. You can be there with your parents and attend school.
Oh, so Swami had told her, you serve now in Uti, I will bring you to Prasantinilayam.
By the surprise of all, wonder of all the wonders, the entire school was transferred.
Yes, later Uti school was closed. I think after 2 years or something.
Yes.
Yeah, Uti school was closed at that time.
So she was allowed to stay with us and attend school.
Attend to school.
Not staying in the hostel there and things.
And in that interview, Swami told her that he will perform Sasti Purti, 60 years 60 of completion
years.
Yours.
Yes.
And Upanayanam of her son.
He did it.
Mm-hmm.
He kept up the words. He did it. He did that to Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
He performed the Upanayanam, that is, 60th birthday on 1988.
Mm-hmm.
He performed 60th birthday.
With Sashti Purti.
Sashti Purti. my mother was alive that my mother expired in, I mean say, when she was 93 years old.
Oh.
She also was there, all my relatives. Swami said, 25 persons can come. Then he said, no,
amazing.
Many people can come, don't worry. Firstly, he called us, gave us clothes and other things, asked them to wear and come next morning, he took us inside. Now, Swami's residence, performed. There was a thread marriage, thread marriage of Anand and also my Sashtendapurti. All the photos are there.
Grandson's Upanayanam, third ceremony.
So yes, performed. And he has arranged for our stay, everything, and also food on that day. See, the auspicious day, everything was done. He have created Mangalyam.
Mm-hmm.
Mangalyam also he has created even, which was as per our custom.
Mm-hmm.
Misais, whatever you call it, you say. Same thing, everything was done.
The Mangal Sutra.
Mangal Sutra. Mangal Dharan.
Because Sashtipurthi is spiritually
yes,
marriage.
Yes, spiritually marriage, you call it. The food also was prepared in such a way, we used to eat it our place during such functions. So after all these things, everything was over. Then the evening I told to Swami, everything as per our custom, and everything Swami has done so nicely. You know, not only did Sashtam Suprati Arupanayanam given an education to my daughter, appointment as teacher, and others also, my grandsons also, education, everything. He says, as you have given me vision while I was at Salem, that garland you have given to my daughter, and to me you said that I have given everything to your daughter.
Oh, now, what was that vision, sir?
Vision, I will tell you now. It was there. I was at Coimbatore, Sai Baba colony, 5 morning, and he visioned that Swami near Ambikuram, that is Vijayadashami day, Dasara day, Swami standing there near the Ambikunda, Homakunda, whatever you call it, and giving darshan to all. And my daughter runningly came to me, showing that Swami has given garland to her, even big garland to in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately went to near Swami. I was also there. The first time I have seen in this Dasara function, and also Swami standing there. Before putting, what you call it, all these precious stones and everything, Swami used to stand there. Da.
Yes.
So at that time, Purnamurti, first time I have seen, that's also in the vision, mm-hmm. first time, you see.
And you see all this Dasara, Purnavati scene in vision.
Vision only. Daughter runningly coming and showing the garland to me. And I even stretched my hands to Swami. Swami took Udi from fire or whatever.
Ash from the fire.
Ash and gave in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And told me that I have given everything to our daughter. This is some 5-6 years prior to my Sanila's death.
Oh, prior to Sanila's
death. Prior to Sanila's death, 6 years prior to my Sanila's death, he said that I have given everything to her daughter. That's what he has done, everything. And said, when I expressed to Swami, that Swami, after all this Sashtivipriti, everything, when I said, Swami, you have done all these things, Swami said, yes. And told him, Swami, I had that vision at that time, so you are doing. Swami said, yes. What you are seeing in the vision, I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is perfect.
Swami
this
said
is
that.
The exact word Swami said. Swami is perfect.
Wow.
See.
So when Swami made that statement, I have given everything to your daughter.
Yeah. Yes.
That is
yes.
wonderful.
And that is after care. 6 years.
After 6 years, even though after the son-in-law passed away, he took care completely.
Completely, completely. Though my daughter was somewhat aged, middle-aged you can call it. She was given admission beard. And personally, he has given admission to my grandsons, daughter's sons, Venkatesh Prasad and Anand,
yes.
both the sons.
Yes.
Afterwards, he even gave admission to Badrina Ryan and yes. Tirisakya Narayan, my other two grandsons.
Yes.
You see, all these things. And granddaughters at Anandapur.
Yes.
All these things. And my wife I had before coming to joining here, while I was doing service at Coimbatore, I had a ear trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors gave so many names. It is called tinnitus, they say. T-I-N-N-I-T-S. Tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Tinnitus. That is, I used to have sound in my ear. Sound. giddiness, restlessness, not knowing what to do. After suffering like anything, after vomiting and other things only, I used to come to my senses. This was going on for a long time. Even we used to come to Prasanthalayam in vehicle very often to have Swami's darshan. Once when coming also on the way, it happened like that. And another time, after darshan, I was sitting there and on the way to see Swami's way, west one. You see, there people used to sit on that pyre, what you call it, to see on the way.
Yes.
There I had that trouble and I had to vomit and then normally I came home. The darshan line, my daughter told to Swami, "Swami, my father is having this trouble." Swami said in Tamil, "Yelathukku drugs saapraare na kekkuren. When he takes drugs, I will ask him." In a very high voice tone. Daughter came to my house and told me, I said, "Why all these small things you should tell to Swami? You should ask, so many things are there. His grace and everything, why should you
ask trouble Swami for these small things?"
But from that moment till this date, even now, nothing, that's immediately stopped.
The real problem.
Completely stopped, completely from that
moment. He said, "I will speak to him, but it is all cured."
I will talk to him. Stopped. He meant to the ailment, I think so, not to the... immediately stopped, not till this date. I don't want to have any troubles. So many wonderful things he has done, you see.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard part one of this two-part interview with Mr. Dave of Prashanthi Nilayam, who was in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Bishu Prushti. We eagerly look forward to your feedback to this interview. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And by the way, you can enjoy the concluding part of this conversation right here on Morning Glory, same time, same day next week. Next is the concluding part of our six-part in-house Fleeting Moments conversation with KVSK Ganesh of Radio Sai. But before I play that important interview for you, I have a reflection for your contemplation, and please don't forget about the Kolaveri D surprise that I will reveal at the very end of this show. So right now, dear brothers and sisters, please take a moment to pause, relax, and open your heart to listen to an affirmation that I personally never tire of going over. Today's reflection is the famous Desiderata written by Max Ehrman, a poet and a lawyer from Terre Haute, Indiana, USA. Max Ehrman wrote it in the year 1927, and Desiderata means things that are desired. And Max Ehrman wrote it for himself, and he said, and I quote him, "Because it counsels those virtues I felt most in need of," unquote. These virtues have been valued by countless others as the Desiderata rose in popularity in the late 60s and the early 70s. And now it's making a strong comeback today as parents and grandparents are passing along this wisdom to their loved ones. Here then is the prudent advice from Max Ehrman's Desiderata, dating back to 1927, when I'm guessing little Satyanarayan Raju, as Baba was then known, was less than a year old. It says, and I quote Max Ehrman, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are a vexation to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always they will be greater and lesser lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially, do not feign affection. Neither be critical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful, strive to be happy. Unquote. Copyright Max Ehrman, 1927. Strive to be happy. Those were the lines from the famous Desiderata, and Max Ehrman penned them in the year 1927, barely months after the Avatar's birth. We don't know the exact month though. Dear brothers and sisters, how lucky are we to have known the Avatar in our as well as his lifetime. In centuries to come, history will indeed be rewritten, and his dateline will be with reference to the life of the Sai Avatar, that is before and after. And Max today advises us to be happy. I sure hope you're feeling happy by tuning into Radio Sai's Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on the 3rd of April 2014. And the time in the ashram right now is 23 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. It's time for me to now treat you to the conclusion of this very gripping, riveting and interesting six-part in-house fleeting moments interview with my colleague, Brother K.V.S.K. Ganesh of Radio Sai. And I just also want to remind you that at the end of the show, I have saved for you the surprise, the Kola Veridi surprise. Don't forget about it. Right now, let's conclude the interview with Ganesh of Radio Sai. And here is the final part. Now, you're such an intense guy, so much of closeness, physical, spiritual, with Swami, such an high achiever in your academics, in your creative work, dance, drama, Vedan chanting, in the work you do at Radio Sai. But in recent times, Bhagwan is no longer in the body. How do you experience being one with Sai?
This is a very beautiful question. The dance boys who have passed out as alumni are still in touch with all of us, and still we have a group which is there outside continuously practicing, and we are looking out for opportunities on bigger occasions outside Prashanthi Nilayam to put up performances so that Swami's message can be given to the world. So one such occasion was the One with Sai program, which happens every month in Vrindavan. We came to know that various artists perform there. As Swami tells, take one step towards me, I'll take 100 towards you, maybe 1,000. So I took the initiative of asking the organizers to give the dance group a chance to perform. Usually it is only a music group or an individual performing. This was the first time they are trying to give a chance to a bigger group. So it usually happens in the Ramesh Hall with a small stage put up and the music group sitting there and performing. So ours was a group of around 20 boys who are planning to perform. And then see how Swami indicates to all of us. Before I asked the organizers, in one of our group members, Swami came to his dream and he indicated the date of the program. all of you perform in Kalyana Mandapam on this particular day. And the boy didn't know what, this was much before this program happened. So that boy happened to pass this message to the entire group. Then the practical implications of performing in Ramesh Hall were so difficult, because putting up a stage, the logistics were very difficult to plan. The easiest way to perform was to do in the Kalyana Mandapam. And when we asked the organizers that, sir, we want to shift the venue of the program from Ramesh Hall to the Kalyana Mandap, in the beginning they hesitated, because all the devotees are used to coming and sitting in the Ramesh Hall. I don't think it will be ideal to perform there inside. If you want, we'll put up a stage facing Swami. So when we face Swami, we'll be showing our backs to the audience. So it won't be an ideal performance. Both Swami and the audience should see and enjoy. So that was our motive. We tried to convey to them 3-4 times, but still they were hesitant. And one fine day what happened was, Swami came in one of the boy's dreams. And I still remember the dream when that boy mailed us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read out that
please do.
This is the mail that...
What date is it?
It was dated July 15, 2013. Happy to inform that One with Sai program organizers gave permission to put up a dance program in Vrindavan Kalyana Mandapam.
Fantastic.
Last week, when we came back from Parthi, I got a dream in which Swami was inquiring about One with Sai program. Swami talking to the VIPs, what is there for this week's One with Sai? VIP replies, Swami, dance program followed by Burakatha. Then Swami again asks, where are they going to perform? The VIP answers, Swami, Kalyana Mandapam. Swami then asks, why Kalyana Mandapam? After a pause for 2 seconds, it's okay, but tell all of them to do well.
Wow, what clear instruction.
And then the thing which he tells after this dream, what happened? From this dream, I couldn't make out whether Swami wants us to do it in Kalyana Mandapam or not. When we told our requirements to One with Sai organizers, initially they didn't agree with what we told. So all of us thought that if Swami wants our program to be in Kalyana Mandapam, it will be in Kalyana Mandapam. After 30 minutes, Srikant brother, the coordinator of One with Sai program, came to us and told that higher authorities agreed to get the program done in Kalyana Mandapam. As Swami said, now it is our turn to practice well
and
perform well.
Yes. So Ganesh, through all this proximity to Bhagwan, how did the Prashanti dance group come about?
This was in the year 2006.
You were still a student? Or
yes, I was still a student.
Mm-hmm.
One fine afternoon when the Vedam was going on, Swami called me and out of the blue, he told me, start training the boys, pillani tayar chai, dance nirpinchu, teach the boys dance and train them. So this was how the Prashanti dance group was started. So prior to this, a beautiful incident happened the year Swami didn't take me to Kodaikanal.
Yeah, when you went home.
When I went home in 2006. So that one evening, what happened was, mango prasadam was being distributed in Ramesh Hall. And we
in
were
Whitefield.
In Whitefield. This was in Vrindavan.
Hmm.
After Swami spoke to me when I came back from home.
Hmm.
So all the boys were called for distributing prasadam. So I don't know why always I go late for prasadam distribution. This was the second time which was happening, which gave me a better opportunity. So everybody goes with the prasadam bowl to get Swami's blessing. So I missed this opportunity because all the vessels were over. So sir told me, okay, all the vessels are over. You can stay here behind the stage and refill all the vessels. I told, okay, sir, fine. So as we were refilling the vessels, the aarti started and the last vessel had gone. And I was there waiting at the end of the stage there, behind the stage. And then Swami was coming behind. There was a carpet which was laid from behind the stage till the thrai door. What happened was, there were two carpets that were overlapping each other. From nowhere, when the people who were there behind Swami were making Swami sit on the wheelchair, Swami came walking from on the stage. So then when, as Swami was sitting on the chair, from nowhere a big wind came, a big breeze, and suddenly the carpet flew. And there were no Sevadal people around to hold the carpet. So I was there alone standing. So I had no other thing to, like, there was no second thought. I just ran from there and held the carpet, and I was straight face to face with Swami. And Swami's eyes lit up, and he called me, and he was introducing me to the VIPs who were there beside Swami. Do you know who this boy is? Then they told Swami, no. This boy is a very good dancer. Yabbai chala baga dance chestadu. And he continued telling, this boy has a big troop along with him. And Swami was planning for the future as he is speaking. And in Kulwanth Hall, they make big, big stages. They put big, big sets and they do big programs, big dance programs.
Just laying out your future.
Yes. And I was just obeying whatever Swami was telling. Then finally Swami looked at me. Is it not? Swami asked me. Means till now it was not there, it will surely happen. I told, yes, Swami. I obeyed Swami's command over there. And Swami was so happy, he gave me Padmanaskar. And this was in May 2006. This was June 2006 in Prashantalayam. When he called me while Vedam was going on, he told me to train the boys. And from that point of time, we started forming the Prashanti dance group. In the formative years, one full year Swami had trained each one of us personally. He used to ask what kind of songs you are practicing for, how many boys should be there in the group.
So tell us some of the details, instructions he shared with you.
So as soon as Swami told us to select the boys, we had...
So these were boys from the college?
From the college.
Who were inclined to dance.
Yes. So we had conducted an audition in the hostel, whoever was interested in dance, and we had selected around 25 boys. So I had taken the entire list to Swami, and without seeing the list, Swami asked, how many boys are there? I told Swami, 25 boys are there. Then Swami told me, Antamandi undakodadu. Those many boys should not be there. Either 15 or 19. So from that time onwards, we are maintaining the group strength as 15 or 19.
Mm-hmm. No more.
No more. And these were clear instructions for us, and Swami told, practice regularly. And how, when Swami starts something, it's like a seed which Swami sows. And with so much of care, with so much of nourishment, Swami takes care of that sapling, which is supposed to grow into a big tree. And that was kind of love which Swami showered on all of us. And in the first year of the formation of Prashanti Dance Group, he had given us 11 opportunities to perform in front of him.
What great fortune. So fortunate.
Any great artist would have...
given an arm and a leg,
yes,
to perform in,
yes,
front of the Divine Lord of the Universe. And you did it so many times. And I'm sure your dance wasn't that perfect from day one. I mean, the groups.
Yes,
but
yes.
All
of us were still budding artists.
Yeah.
And Swami gives a lot of importance to the bhava. But we should not take it for granted that you just have the bhava and don't put the effort into the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly over the years we have been improving the performance levels of the Prashanti dance group. We have been training boys in a more structured way so that they can do something very useful to the society. So there were different levels at which we started the practice. In the beginning, when Swami used to give us opportunities, we used to just pick up some songs and dance for those songs by introducing some commentary in between. But as the days passed and as we were growing, we used to take certain themes and develop based on Swami's teachings. And slowly we were trying to evolve ourselves. So this is a very beautiful art form which can do so much of justice to what is abstract. If you are having a feeling which nobody understands in you and which you want everybody to understand it, and dance, I feel, is the best way to bring it out. And spirituality, Swami obviously, he tells spirituality in such a simple way. But some people may feel those simple words also as complex. So we thought, why not take Swami's message from his discourses and weave an entire theme so that it will be easy for depiction in dance. So this was how we slowly evolved our dance. This was really a learning period for all of us.
And do you still participate in this? Is the group still going on?
Yeah, till now it's been continuing. I still teach the boys dance till date.
So the waiting period was going on, but it was quite eventful as well.
So one of the most cherished moments in my stay with Swami till date is the waiting period.
And it was a long one, 4 years.
It was 4 years.
Was it difficult, such a highly educated person, so talented, no job for 4 years?
Yeah, it was quite a difficult situation for me because my parents had different expectations from me and I had to make them understand the importance of being with Swami. It was really a tough time for me. But all through those 4 years, Swami had given me a lot of support and He was a driving force behind all this. And this waiting period is like a golden period for all the students who wait for Swami. People may look at it in different ways. People used to ask us, why are you wasting time after doing so many degrees? But we feel that the fulfillment is there only when we stay with Swami and we offer whatever we have studied and whatever we are to Swami. So these 4 years were a period of learning where we focused just on Swami. Whatever hurdles came across were like passing clouds for us, and even the pressure from home was so much that we had to go back. But Swami, every moment we had a pressure from home, Swami used to call us and used to shower so much of love on us, and that used to negate all these pressures. One particular incident which still is clear in my mind, in 2009, suddenly Swami asked Chakravarti sir to call all the waiting boys and told them, all of you pack your luggage and you go home. There are no vacancies in the ashram for you to get job. All of you should not be seen from tomorrow in mandir. This was the instructions for us. And we were all taken aback why Swami is telling all this, and we followed Swami's instructions. We were never seen in mandir. We were not to be seen anywhere in the first lines. If we are seen in the first line, we were asked by the Sevadal to go back. So it was a very severe test for us. And we were all, when you are in the most difficult situation, the best prayer comes out of you. That's what I felt. And I was guided by my teachers again during this period of time. One of our sirs, Vedanarayan sir, he told me, see, people give up during this point of time. You should never give up when Swami puts you through a test. And then I took this as the indication from Swami, and He told me, you take Aditya Hridayam,
the prayer to Lord Sun.
And He told me, you chant this mantra every day and stop talking to everybody. Only Swami is your focus. And I did it for almost 9 days. Every day 9 times for 9 days. The 9th day, it was supposed to be an Onam celebration. Every day I used to follow the schedule as we used to follow when we were inside the mandir. So then following...
And you stayed away from the mandir?
Yes, we stayed away from the mandir. So this particular day, nobody was there inside mandir. And Swami came early on that day. So we had an opportunity of rushing forward because nobody was there around Swami. In this particular moment, I took it as an opportunity, and when Swami was coming for darshan, I rushed to Swami and one of my friends, both of us together went to Swami and told, Swami, we want to sit there and chant Vedam. And he asked Swami, Swami, I want to sit there and sing bhajan. And the sincerity with which we attended all the sessions, even when Swami kept us aside, that gave us an opportunity, and Swami asked us, okay, come. Then we just followed Swami, and from that point of time, we started coming back for darshan, and that was like a...
So it was only a 9 days...
Yeah, for
period.
Both of us it was a 9 day period. But that period was like intense. Anybody who goes through the waiting period, this patch is like testing period for all of us.
What was going through your mind? Did you question why Swami doing this to us? All we want is to serve Him and be His instruments, and He's just...
Frankly speaking, I never had the question in my mind that why Swami is doing this. But I kept on praying to Swami that, Swami, you should take me closer to you. That was the only prayer which was going on in my
mind. Nine times the Aditya Hridayam chanting.
Yes.
You must have got it by heart by now.
Now it's become a part of my daily schedule.
Uh-huh.
And when I take bath, I keep chanting this mantra. This is a daily mantra for me.
And very cleansing too,
yes,
right?
Which keeps me always closer to Swami. So, the most incredible part comes now. The story unfolds like this. One evening as bhajan was going on, Swami was calling a few boys for interview. Then, we didn't know why Swami was calling. Swami was calling in small groups. So, I was seriously singing bhajans. Suddenly, I heard a tap beside me. Somebody was calling me. And one of our brothers, Ashwat Narayan, he was the last one to come out of the interview room. And he told me, see, Swami is calling you inside interview room. So immediately I rushed. And as soon as I opened the interview room door, Swami was in his beautiful smile, always waiting for me. And when I went inside, Swami called me and told me, he gave me 2 500 rupee notes and told me, you get good clothes stitched. We are going to Pune in a big plane. Manavanta kalsi Pune ki podam, pedda plane lo. These were the words of Swami. And it was like a, how to explain that in
From that agony of those being chucked out to the ecstasy of another trip.
Of another, yeah.
Oh my God, what a pendulum, what an emotional roller coaster.
Yes. And it happened to be a welcome sign for me because from the past 6 months, my father had not spoken to me.
He was upset.
He was upset with me that I am not coming back home and working. So,
how did you support yourself? Like, you were not earning, you didn't have an income, and dad was not particularly happy with you. How did you support yourself?
See, I have to thank my parents from the bottom of my heart because at every point of time, even when they did not like it, they had always given me a supporting hand. That was a real, because without the wish of parents, without their consent, it's very, very difficult to stay with Swami. Somewhere at the bottom of their hearts, they would have prayed to Swami that I should be with them. Otherwise, if parents think otherwise, it's very difficult to convince Swami that we have to be with him. So in that way, I got the complete support of my parents. And now Swami has drawn them close to him. Now they are settled here along with me and I'm happy to be with my parents now here. So then, coming back to the Hatshi trip, when Swami announced this, I was in the cloud number 9 and I was so happy. Then we went with Swami to Hatshi. That was one of the most thrilling trips out of all the 4 trips I went, because we saw the magnificence of Swami's glory there. So many devotees coming from all parts of the country. What a crowd it was when we went to Hatshi. And the glory of Swami was like, we cannot explain it in words. The beauty of the place, the crowds that came to have Swami's darshan, the people thronged like ants to have the darshan of the Lord. And it was a very revealing trip for all of us. And in that trip, Swami again, he asked me, now instead of asking me, he had instructed me that I have to start working.
It's about time, boy.
Even in that busy schedule of his,
he was concerned.
It takes time to think about us, and in one particular session Swami called me and told, see, now that your parents are becoming old, you have to take care of them, you have to support them. And that was one of the most memorable trips that I had with Swami.
And you also went to Mumbai with Swami on the same trip?
On the same trip, yes. That was even when Swami was physically so tired in the journey, he had time for everybody. Till late night, around 11 o'clock in the night, he used to spend with all the VIPs and he used to bless them. He never cared about his physical fame. Swami was always
giving.
Even when the students were sleeping, we heard that Swami is still giving the interview to Ratan Tata. Around night, 11 o'clock, Swami was still speaking to him. And early morning, again, he is back for darshan. And
so much strain on the physical body.
Yes.
Ganesh, how did you get into Radio Sai? How did this opportunity begin? Now, Swami told you enough of waiting for 4 years. You got to do something with your life professionally. How did Radio Sai happen?
Actually, this was one more twist in my life, actually. When Swami was in the hospital, we were preparing a Vedam tutorial CD. I happened to be helping one of the brothers from the book trust.
And you're very good with Veda chanting.
Huh?
You chant in the mandir every day.
Yes, every day I chant in mandir. So I was called for recording some of the mantras. And as I was recording the mantras in the studio right here, one of the sirs from the Telugu department had come inside and he showed me an announcement and told me, "Do you know Telugu?" I told him, "Yes, sir. But I have never spoken before." He encouraged me that, "But you can try out reading this announcement. We'll just check your voice." And when I did the announcement, he felt that the voice is very good. And as I kept coming to the studio regularly for the recordings, I came to know about the updates that Radio Sai was putting up
about Bhagwan's health
mm-hmm. when he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
So that inspired me so much that what this institution can do. That was the feeling I was having that every time I stepped inside Radio Sai. So the moment Swami left his mortal coil, I felt that Radio Sai was the best place for me. Because every moment I can listen to his voice, every moment I can do his work, because everything is involved with his experience, direct experience. Yes, everything is his institute, but a direct connection with him can be found in Radio Sai. That's what I felt.
And you're very passionate about your work, and I think your love for it comes through in everything you do, Ganesh. You're always on a high, always smiling, always doing things. It is your life. It's pretty obvious. Your work is your life. It's your passion. It's your sadhana.
Yes.
Now, does it ever occur to you, or does anyone ever draw your attention to the fact that you're a very qualified, highly educated young man? You could be making a whole lot more money and experiencing more worldly success if you went outside.
Yeah, actually, from the day I joined our institute, I saw success in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
The more you become happy, you are more successful than others.
Very true.
That's the feeling I
What's
always...
What's the point of a big paycheck if you're miserable and unhappy?
Yes. Even with a meager salary, if you are happy, then the day is made for you. Your life is fulfilled.
Oh, that's so good to know. Where do you see yourself in a decade from now?
I have two points of view in this. One is regarding Radio Sai. One is regarding my dancing career. Regarding Radio Sai, it's our ambition that the entire glory of Swami should be spread far and wide to the entire world with our efforts.
Amen to that, I say.
We should be His useful instruments. We should be a perfect instrument in His hands. That is my goal. And regarding the responsibility which Swami had given me personally, I have to train the boys in dance and make the Prashanti dance group into a world-famous group which gives Swami's message, spiritual message to the entire world.
His
message
of
love. And, yes, through the medium of dance.
Mm.
People consider Bharatanatyam, Kuchipudi, Kathak as different dances. But for me, dance is expressing the feeling from the innermost recesses of your heart. That is the true atmic principle which comes out of your heart. Finally, dance is the only form which can make you be in one with divinity. Music can be heard without even the artist being present. A painting can be seen without the presence of the painter. But a dance cannot be seen without the presence of the dancer. So, mind, body and atma, all in cohesion, will make you realize soul at one point of time. So that's what we want to make as many people as possible to learn this form of dance, and we want to institutionalize this and make people join from outside also. This is the
very grand vision, and to take dance to such a high spiritual level where it's almost like a meditation.
Yes.
From what you're saying, totally
you become one with God
and you become the message that you're going to convey. Very beautiful. You know, I did not really think of, I would thought of spreading Swami's message through talks, through discussions, through music, songs, but through dance. Very creative. Fantastic. Wish you great luck in that.
Thank you.
So if someone were to ask you, Ganesh, you do see yourself fulfilling your personal and professional ambitions while living and working in an ashram?
Yes, I do manage both my personal life and the work life, because my parents support me a lot. They give 100% support to the work which I am doing. And you can't ask for more than that. So, keep doing what you're doing?
Yes. Do the best what you're doing right now. Live in the present. You plan for the future, but live in the present.
Very sage advice for a young man. Beautiful. Does the Mahasamadhi hurt you still?
Actually, the days when Swami was in hospital, I used to think Swami will come back. But the 3 days when Swami's physical frame was kept in the ashram, in the Kulwant hall, that time I felt that I had lost everything. Those 3 days, I cried, cried and cried, whatever I could. Because when I saw Swami there, and when he was being covered with the Indian national flag, there I could just imagine the words, Bharat Bhagya Vidhata. And those were the words which brought tears to my eyes. I was missing Swami that time. But immediately when the curtain closed for the Mahasamadhi, that time I just felt that now it's our responsibility to take over Swami's message. And that is the duty which we have in our hands.
And you take your duty so seriously to heart.
Yes.
And you execute it so well, Ganesh. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this program and sharing your experiences with our listeners. I'm sure what you said will inspire a lot of people.
So before I end, I would just conclude with a prayer of gratitude to my parents, to my Guruji, and to Swami, and to the world at large. Swasti prajapya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahisham go brahmane vyashubhamastu nityam samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu. Shanti, shanti, shanti.
May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, is 53 minutes past 10 a.m. in Prashanti Nilayam, India, and today is the 3rd of April 2014. You just heard the 6th and final part of my in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with my brother and my colleague, Radio Sai's KVSK Ganesh. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not download all 6 parts and listen to them while traveling or at bedtime? It's a very moving conversation and it puts this young man's devotion, his sense of discipline and dedication into perspective. As you know, we are always on the lookout for your feedback as it helps us to hone our programming even better. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And dear sisters and brothers, as you will realize, I am 8 minutes past my time for morning glory, so I have to wind up. And before I do so, I'd like to tell you to please remember well the advice from the Desiderata and please stay positive, stay inspired. It's very important. Let nothing and no one bring your spirits down. Be in charge of your own peace and your inner stillness. You try hard and so will I. I realize it's not always easy, but let's just strive, shall we? With that request from Team Radio Sai, I now gladly hand you over to my colleague, Brother Raghu. Until we meet next Thursday, I bid you Jai Sai Ram.
Devotion to thee.